Today, inflation, reality versus spin versus policy. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, Rob Nuttis Post, covering finance and property news. If you ask most people, they will say prices are rising and rising fast. The latest consumer surveys show that households across the country expect inflation to bubble even higher, and our surveys confirm more are experiencing cash flow stress. In Australia, as in many other countries, inflation was already trending higher before the Gulf War and the spike in oil price and other commodities, which are going to flow through into higher prices later, despite government attempts to ease the effects by cutting fuel duty for a period, something which of course will be reversed later and will spike inflation anew. The official figures released by the government agencies like the ABS in Australia tend to average out real inflation, which for many is actually running a lot hotter. And then central banks go for some sort of trimmed measure, seeking to isolate the more extreme movements of, say, petrol at the pumps in the quest for some mythical, more reliable underlying indicator on other consumer prices. In fact, actually, the ABS reported the consumer price index rose 4.2% in the 12 months to April, and that compared with 4.6% in March. So there was a drop. But if you look at the underlying trimmed mean measure, then that was actually at 3.4% in the 12 months to April, up from 3.3% in the 12 months to March. Kevin Walsh, the new Fed chair, has, I think, indicated that he's got a preference to choose an alternative method for assessing inflation, which is conveniently lower, allowing potential greater capacity for rate cuts as opposed to rate rises. And in the next week or so, we're going to get more central bank rate decisions following the Bank of Canada's decision to hold its key interest rate at 2.25% yesterday. Governor Tiff Macklem said economic weakness combined with rising inflation is a dilemma for monetary policy, and that monetary policy needs to be, quote, nimble as uncertainty remains elevated. Economic weakness combined with rising inflation is a dilemma for monetary policy. Rising rates to dampen inflation could further slow the economy. Easing rates to support growth increases the risk that higher inflation becomes persistent. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. The central bank expects CPI inflation to hover close to 3% in coming months before easing gradually towards 2%, that mythical 2%, and will closely watch core gauges and the breadth of components rising 3% or more for signs that energy prices are feeding into generalized inflation. Importantly, he added, if the conflict in the Middle East continues and higher energy prices start leading to higher generalized inflation, monetary policy will have more work to do. There may be a need for consecutive increases in the policy rate, and markets expect at least one rise by December. Brent crude surged to as much as 2% after the US military launched strikes on several targets in Iran for the second straight day, while Iran said it had struck two vessels attempting passage in the Straits of Hormuz. Iran's responses will be closely watched by the market, as Iranian retaliation risks further escalation and would challenge the market's apparent assumption that a US-Iran deal will imminently be reached, said Commonwealth Bank's head of commodities, John Oh. The strategists warn that markets face the prospect of oil surging to $150 by the middle of July if the strait remains shut and global oil and refined product stockpiles fell to operational stress levels, which of course would lead to, yes, you've got it, higher inflation. The European Central Bank today is expected to lift rates, with inflation in May already at 3.2% and with market expectations of an even higher inflation forecast ahead, on the assumption that the crisis that's been going on in the Middle East and the impacts on energy markets are now something which looks like being there for a lot longer. They can't look through them. After Thursday, investors reckon the ECB will hike at least one more time as well, bringing rates to the upper end of the so-called neutral range. That would resemble the measured adjustment that, according to Lagarde, may be necessary to respond to a large but not too persistent overshoot on inflation. On Tuesday, France's central bank governor Emmanuel Merlin said our forecasts will show less growth and higher inflation, with a degree that will be different depending on the scenario. We are taking assumptions given by the European Central Bank on the price of oil, but obviously the size of the shock and the persistence of the shock is longer than we expected, and it will have an impact on inflation, he said. Yesterday, we got the latest CPI data from the US, where inflation accelerated again in May as the Iran war pushed up energy prices, outpacing wages for a second straight month. The consumer price index climbed 4.2% from a year earlier. That's the most since early 2023. The energy index rose 3.9% in May. That's accounted for 60% of the monthly items increased. But other categories saw some slower gains or maybe outright declines. Grocery prices rose by 0.1%, while transportation services, health, insurance, and new vehicle prices fell. Importantly, average wages haven't kept pace with inflation, and wages were back to their January 2025 levels, which means the purchasing power of the typical paycheck in the US has been falling in real terms, something which Aussie households have been experiencing for years. But if you take super core services inflation, then it surged after taking off last autumn. AI data center demand has also driven electricity inflation. But that said, the US core CPI, which excludes food and energy, increased 0.2% from April. That's a touch below expectations. And people in the market took that as a comforting signal. But the CPI report sent a clear signal that consumers are pulling back on non-essential spending, pushing back against businesses' attempts at price hikes. While energy is driving much of the increase in shelter easing, we're not yet seeing clear signs of broader second-round effects. Well, maybe. Which got the market confused, with some calling for rate hikes from the Fed, as interest rate swaps showed traders were still fully pricing in a rate hike by December, but others are expecting a rate cut by then. Core CPI on an annual basis is at 2.9%. That is not exactly in the Fed's comfort zone. And actually, it's 63 consecutive months that US inflation has been above the Fed's 2% target. So the question here, has the Fed any credibility when it comes to fighting inflation? But all of this really makes my point for me. You can almost always find some sort of metric to suit your potential point of view around inflation. Pick your own. Who knows? Now, next week, the RBA's Monetary Policy Board will meet and markets will be hyper-focused on the tone in both the press conference and the statement. Again, a central bank that we would say is lacking credibility, with inflation stuck well above target and rising. Actually, in recent years, we've seen the RBA caught out, waiting too long to move, according to many. Who can forget the famous suggestion back in 2021 by the former governor Phil Lowe that the official cash rate would stay at 0.1% until middle of 2024. 13 rapid fire rate hikes later, and the cash rate was up at 4.35%. And pundits have since suggested the RBA waited too long to lower rates, for it did so in February 25, and then too long before it started rising again. It's somewhat of a no-win situation for Governor Michelle Bullock and her board. Commonwealth Bank Head of Australian Economics Belinda Allen thinks the RBA will decide against lifting interest rates for the first time this year following three consecutive increases. We expect a focus on inflation to remain in place given inflation is too high and there remains some uncertainty over the pace and extent of pass-through of higher prices from the conflict in the Middle East, she said. But there will have to be some acknowledgement over the impact of recent housing policy changes, a soft April labour market print, and the risk of still low levels of business and consumer sentiment creeping through to economic activity. CBA has maintained its expectation that the RBA would hold rates at 4.35% for the remainder of 2026, and its base forecast for Australian growth is 1.6% to December 2026, and unemployment drifting higher to 4.6%. Under that scenario, and an end to the war next month, Allen says this would allow the RBA to cut interest rates twice in 2027 from March. If the war ends in the Middle East, that's a big if, isn't it? Recently, NAB, which had been forecasting a rise in rates through the year, turned turtle to to forecast a fall, now saying the next move in the Reserve Bank of Australia's cash rate is likely to be down, but the timing remains uncertain. That's according to the latest NAB Economics RBA Watch. NAB Chief Economist Dr. Sally Old said recent data suggests the economy has lost momentum and the outlook for rates has shifted, noting that the broader economic backdrop has changed since earlier in the year. The next move in the cash rate is likely to be down, but the timing is uncertain. In February, growth was above trend. The economy was operating over capacity, and there was uncertainty over the restrictiveness of rates. None of those conditions exist today, she outlined. Dr. Ord said recent data pointed to softer momentum across the economy, while acknowledging that at the same time, uncertainty remains a key feature of the outlook. Both quarter one GDP data and the NAB business survey suggests momentum in the economy has slowed, meaning that growth has likely peaked for the cycle. That said, we think there could still be considerable uncertainty around the outlook, both with respect to activity and inflation. And Dr. Sally Hall said inflation risks and labour market outcomes will be important to watch. On the price side, we are still forecasting above target core inflation through to the middle of 2027. Margins will compress, and weaker labour market outcomes are a risk. And she said tighter financial conditions are expected to weigh on housing and activity. Tighter financial conditions will be reflected in a slowing in house price growth and housing credit growth. In summary, we have greater conviction that the next move in rates is down, but less conviction on the timing. And recently, Westpac said that there was a 10% drop in mortgage demand over the 3 weeks since the government unveiled tax changes, which sort of confirms the idea of slowing momentum in housing and mortgage lending. But with Australia's 10-year bonds near 5% and 30-year bonds near 5.4%, investors are signalling that inflation, deficits and government borrowing remains a concern. Cutting the cash rate while government spending remains elevated risks stimulating demand without addressing the underlying supply-side pressures that have driven much of Australia's inflation problem. All of which says that there is more spin in the inflation readings than anything else. But when we get a debate going on about which inflation view to bank, we know we have a problem. Yet the real problem sits in the real world of higher and higher prices, because it is the cumulative effect of cascading inflation over time, which devalues wages, which of course in real time are going backwards. And while central banks with their models are making tweaks to rates, they are a million miles from real people. Their policy errors are hitting home literally as more households feel the pain. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.